Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show. Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. When you know who we are, your friendly HR analytics dashboard, pulling all your data from all your different disparate and disconnected HR systems, your HRIS, ATS, engagement system, performance management system, Glassdoor, et cetera, all into one real-time, beautiful dashboard. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because we have a great special guest that's going to talk about a topic that I think a lot of you will really enjoy and appreciate, especially those of you who are really starting off in a new company, trying to build a new HR department. But without further ado, I would like to thank my friend June Duran, VP of Marketing at Slick Deals, for helping making this introduction to our special guest. And I hope that all of you help me introduce Karen Rice, VP of HR at Slick Deals, and we're going to talk about how to build an HR department from scratch. Welcome to the podcast, Karen.
Woo! Thanks, Bruce.
Karen!
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
So we need to start this off and ask the question that we always ask, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Wow. I think probably like most people, I fell into HR. I was actually doing accounting at the time and administrative assistant type work, and fell into an opportunity to do HR. And I absolutely fell in love with what I was doing and was kind of a sponge and kept asking for more and more opportunities, which the person who was heading up human resources at that organization loved being able to pass off more work to somebody who wanted to take something on, because as those of us in HR know, we're normally pushed to the brink at times with the volume of work that we've got on us. And so it was a really exciting opportunity for me. I ended up changing my focus in my education to end up getting a bachelor's in organizational leadership with a minor in human resources, and then went on to get my master's as well, my MBA. And have continued that career for the last 20 plus years, really enjoying it.
Nice. And then for all of our listeners who are not familiar with Slick Deals, can you tell us what the company does?
Yeah. So I'd love actually to get to tell people about Slick Deals. I constantly am showing my friends and family our app and telling them about our website. It's a pretty exciting thing if you're not familiar with us. Slick Deals is actually the web's largest deal sharing community. We have around 11 million unique users every month that visit the site. And the great thing about our deals is that they're all user-generated content. So essentially, users out in the marketplace find the best deals available on the internet, at stores, things like that. And they actually post those to our website, which is www.slickdeals.net. And from there, the deal actually goes into a community-based forum, and our community is actually who decides which deals are better deals. They give them thumbs up, thumbs down, and then based upon the community voting on those deals, that's actually how deals make it to our front page, which is what most people are aware of as the front page deals at Slick Deals. And companies actually love getting a deal on the front page because it often means for them that that product is actually going to sell out. So it's pretty exciting. And again, if you're not familiar, we have deals on a variety of things. There can be stuff like household items, gadgets, a lot of electronics, travel deals. There's a lot of amazing content on the Slick Deals website.
That was great. And for all you listeners out there, not only are you going to get an amazing podcast that will educate and entertain you, but you also just got put on to some amazing deals that I have used personally, and it saved me a lot of money. So yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah, so Bruce, Slick Deals has actually been around for almost 20 years. This is our 20th year anniversary this year, which I often joke about, and especially in the course of this conversation, when you think about a 20-year-old company, but really up until about 5.5 years ago, it was a small 12-person company. And we've really grown in the last 5.5 years, a little over 6 years. But in the 20 years, we've actually saved our customers over $6 billion. So it definitely is a great place to go out and take a look, create deal alerts, and make sure that you're getting the best deals on everything that you're buying today.
Wow. And that was billion with a B, folks, if you didn't hear that clearly. And while we're on that topic of the company being around for 20 years, happy 20th anniversary, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's set the stage before we go into the topic. How many employees does the company have today?
We have about 116 employees today, and that includes full-time and part-time and interns. We try to have a pretty healthy internship program where we really are taking folks and helping to develop them and hopefully become the next full-time employees in the organization. And so where I'm at, about 116 today, we have some pretty exciting growth ahead of us this year. And we'll be close to the 200 mark by the end of this year and probably closer to, you know, mid 200s, upper 200s within the next two to three years.
That is awesome. So let's go back to our topic around how to build an HR department from scratch. So to level set, let's talk about what is an HR department? I mean, obviously, a lot of people on this podcast have probably worked in HR, or a lot of people listening have been in an HR or understand it. But to really talk at the foundational level, if you're talking about building an HR department from scratch, what are we actually talking about? What does that mean?
That's a great question. And as you said, obviously, a lot of the folks on here have worked in an HR department or familiar with an HR department. One of the exciting things for me that I've had the opportunity to do at a couple of organizations that I've worked at now is really go into places where there either isn't an HR department, or there are a lot of times there's like a person who's been kind of doing HR activities, but they're not a real HR person. And it's always interesting for me. So when I started here at Slick Deals, one of my things is I actually am trying to finish up now having a one-on-one with every single employee in the entire organization. And at the end, I've asked everybody, you know, now that you've got a real HR department here, you've got somebody who's focusing on this, what are you looking for from HR? And it's interesting to me how often the answer to me is, I actually have no idea. I've never either worked in an HR department or this is my first job. And so I don't know what to expect from HR. And so it's always exciting for me to try and get to educate people on what a good HR department looks like. And I do stress the difference between just an HR department and a good HR department. So for me, Bruce, that includes things like, you know, the general, obviously, employee lifecycle. We do all of the recruiting, hiring, onboarding. To me, those are critical things through the entire employee lifecycle. It's being available for employee relations issues. It's making sure that we have employee engagement activities, that we focus things around culture. There's obviously a lot involved with the audit and compliance side of human resources, which is a lot probably of what we'll talk about some as the, you know, this conversation continues, because certainly that's one of the biggest things in kind of creating that HR department from scratch is looking at all those audit and compliance things. But then it's things like training, education, payroll, having the right HR systems in place, which we often refer to as an HRIS or Human Resource Information System, or an ATS, an applicant tracking system. So it's all of those types of things, but it's really kind of anything, if you think about anything that affects an employee, it's that employee life cycle. And it's about creating value to the organization. So it's really about making sure that the things that we are doing are enhancing and growing what it is that the business is trying to do from the people perspective.
So when you're looking to build this new HR department, I want to ask from the perspective of a CEO or a business owner that may be listening, but then also from the HR person. So we'll start from the perspective of the CEO. If you are a business owner and you have an HR leader coming in to create a new HR department, what should they be thinking about? What kind of expectations should they have? And what kind of autonomy should they think about providing to this new leader that's going to be building this HR department from scratch?
Great question. So the first thing I would say, and I would say this about any job, is The business leader needs to make sure that they've really thought about what it is that they're looking for from the role. There can be a lot of different types of HR people that you might bring into your organization. There are those who are more tactical focused, like you just need somebody who's going to get in here and do the everyday to day things. On up to obviously where my preference always is, which is hiring an HR person who's really a partner to the business. And I know one of the things that I like to say to folks as I'm, you know, having conversations is one of the things I believe that I bring to the table is I have the ability to see around corners. And so it's really important that the business leader understands what is the type of person that they like, what do they want this job to do so that they don't end up hiring a person who they're going to be frustrated with and the person's going to be frustrated. So, you know, if the business says, I just want somebody who's going to come in and do tactical day to day, I would really encourage them to rethink that because a great HR person can bring so much more to the table. But make sure that you define that. So you set the expectations clearly. Like I said, I believe in hiring a person who has the ability for that vision and strategy of how does the people impact the long-term business and what can they bring to the table as far as that's concerned. And if that's what you want and that's what you're looking for, then you should be able to hire an individual who you do give general autonomy to be able to accomplish those things. Certainly there's checks and balances. And so it's not like the HR person should just be going off and doing whatever they want and implementing, you know, anything. But the reason that you're hiring this person is because they're an expert in the field. And so trust them to do what it is that they do as a profession and bring that to the table for just validation and then being able to kind of move forward.
And then from the HR leader's perspective, what should you be doing to set expectations, to really level set with the CEO, president, owner of the business, so that they have clear expectations of what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, and how you both need to work together to make sure that you're measuring success the same way?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to it a little bit pre-employment and then a little bit post-employment, if you don't mind. So,
yeah, sure. That's great.
Okay, excellent. So I would say from a pre-employment standpoint, make sure that you're asking those questions, like to what I was just saying about from the business side, make sure you're asking those questions, like where do they see this role fitting into the organization and how do they see it making an impact? Because again, the last thing you want to do is come into an organization and then be frustrated because they were looking for one thing and you were looking for another. And to answer your question with regards to kind of the pre-employment piece, one of the things I do anytime that I am considering a new opportunity and interviewing, I always ask people, what will I have accomplished in my first 6 months with the company that will say to you, I was successful. You chose the right person. And so even before I accept a position and start a job, I already have a list of what I know the senior people that I'm having these conversations with are looking for. And then post coming into a company, or if you're already in your company and you're trying to do this from scratch now, you've already accepted the position and now you're in the exciting place of getting to grow this, I highly recommend that you have conversations with each of the executives in your organization. Don't just focus on one person. I think that's where people make the biggest mistake, is they'll have a conversation with just their CEO or just the person that human resources happens to be reporting to in that organization. But have a conversation across the board, all of the executives in your organization, and understand where they're all looking at. Because what can easily happen is if the mass of the population thinks that you should be focusing on, you know, activities A, B, and C, and your CEO perhaps doesn't think that those same things are the priority, they think you should be working on, you know, W, X, Y, or whatever the case may be, then there's a potential for a disconnect. And then HR ends up in a place where you may be making the CEO really happy, but the populace is actually not, or vice versa. And both of those are pretty critical. So as an example, when I started at Slick Deals, again, I did the pre-questions and the interview process. And then once I started, I then again sat down with not only the leadership team, but some of those hiring managers that have a lot of hiring volume that we're going to be doing this year, and said, in addition to, as I mentioned before, I've met with, you know, most of our employee population here on a one-on-one basis and said, what are you looking from HR? From there, then I think the most critical thing is to create kind of what are you capturing as all of those initiatives that need to be accomplished? And then you can start to go back and kind of refine those and say, okay, here's what I can bite off and accomplish in this period of time, because you'll get a lot of things thrown at you. Like, everybody's going to want a lot, and everybody's going to want a lot immediately. And so I think the other thing, in order for an HR person to be seen as valuable in the organization, is they need to set clear expectations. Like, you've given me 20 things you want me to accomplish in the next 30 days. That's just not possible. So here are the 5 that I can, you know, successfully accomplish for us. And here's the reason why I chose these 5. And here's how I think that we accomplish the rest of the things.
Got it. So you almost, and maybe you did already answer a part of my next question, which is a great segue, but to make this as actionable and tactical as possible for the listeners, where do I start? So it's day 1 or, you know, day 10. I know where the bathroom is. I know where the coffee maker is. I'm starting to learn the names of all of my colleagues and the different people who work here. What am I doing now? You spoke about interviews, but if you had to prioritize what I need to do to make sure that I'm setting myself up for success, am I doing interviews? Am I doing an HR tech stack audit to see if we're using the right technology? Am I first digging into policies to see if there's anything that we're doing which may be illegal or opens us up for risk? How do I look at this to make sure that I'm doing things in the order that makes the most sense, that is keeping the company compliant and all the other things that I should be doing? But like you said, I can't do 500 things at the same time. So if you're on a general level, if you're able to prioritize that, what does that look like?
Yeah. So, which is one of the things that we're always faced with in human resources, is all of those things to accomplish. And how do you figure out which ones you focus on first? So the first thing I'm going to say is, I do believe that those initial conversations with your leadership team are critical. Now, that shouldn't take you, you know, 2 months to actually do. You should be able to have conversations with just your leadership team in a very short period of time and capture from them the things that they think are most critical. Then obviously, you need to take that into consideration while you're secondarily looking at what are the compliance and legally mandated things that a company has to have or be doing, and figure out how do you, you know, where do you then prioritize all of those things together? So there's obviously a lot of that stuff. So, I mean, as an example, one of the things that I have on my list is you end up auditing all of the HR practices, policies, files, everything. I mean, it's as easy as the first thing is, do I have my federally mandated posters hung on the walls where they're supposed to be? Do I actually have personnel files? Are the documents separated like they're supposed to be legally in a file? There's a lot of great resources out. So it's not like, you know, don't be overwhelmed at all of these things. You can Google almost anything and find stuff. So you can Google and find something on, you know, how to conduct a file audit, how to conduct an I-9 audit. All of that stuff's out there. So don't hesitate to use the resources that, you know, people make available. But certainly, you know, first you want to make sure that you're aligned with your executive team, your leadership team. What are they looking for? Secondarily is always, and very quickly, is going to be an audit of the legally mandated or compliance related things. And then you start to keep track of other things. So as an example, you know, do you even have a handbook? If you do, great. Start, make sure that you're familiar with the policies and make sure that what's actually happening is what's listed in the policy. What I find a lot of times, because companies, even if they haven't had an HR department, everybody knows you need to have a handbook. And so generally they've gone and they've had a generic handbook created by someone, which is a great first step. Don't get me wrong. All of these things are wonderful. But a lot of times they've put into place, you know, kind of a handbook that has some general policies, but they don't actually list what a company is really doing. And so it's important to figure out, okay, where do we have misses of what our handbook says we should be doing and what we're actually in reality doing? And then start to keep a list of those things. You don't want to come in and on day 2 try to update your handbook, because you're going to be finding things out across the course of, you know, your first 3 to 6 months that it's like, oh, I need to do that. And so, you know, it's one of those things that you'll want to kind of keep track of. I highly recommend to everybody, I'm a big believer in start keeping just kind of a running flow of all the things that you're identifying, and put those on your list of what you need to accomplish. And then one of the other things that I think is so critical and all too often missed by people is when you complete something on that list, save it in that same document, but have a work completed section. You know, there are so many times in HR, the stuff that we do doesn't necessarily have a clear cut beginning and end. Like, it's just an ongoing perpetual. And so if you don't keep track of those things that you actually have completed, it can sometimes become a little bit overwhelming that you just see all these things ahead of you that need to be done, and you forget to recognize and have some success on the stuff that you did complete. So I just had a conversation yesterday with a colleague of giving them the same exact advice of make sure that you're keeping this work completed list so that you get to celebrate your successes and you don't necessarily start to feel like it's overwhelming and I have too much ahead.
I'm curious, where do you keep this list and how do you keep it organized? Is it just an Excel spreadsheet? Do you keep this in email, something like a Trello board? What does this look like for you?
That's funny that you asked that, Bruce. So I will tell you, I've kept this document in about 100 different places. not all at the same time, obviously, but there isn't one that I can tell you is better than another. Everybody has to really figure out what resonates with you and what is meaningful and impactful. I've used Trello. I actually think it's a great free resource to be able to keep your kind of boards. You can show stuff that's finished. So I think that's a great resource. Excel is always going to be a good tool. Word is probably where most people go initially just because it's super easy and familiar. Or I guess in this day and age, also Google Docs. A lot of people use that. OneNote, I'm a huge believer in OneNote as well. And so it really, you know, depends on the individual. One, what their company offers. So if, you know, OneNote isn't something you have available to you, obviously you don't want to just get frustrated that that's the only mechanism for you to track it. There's a lot of ways and opportunities. And like I said, people really have to decide what works the best for them.
Is there a scenario that typically happens where, in your experience, where a professional like yourself comes in to set up an HR department and the CEO or another stakeholder that HR may report to, maybe CFO, already has some ideal image of what HR is supposed to look like, but they really don't even know what it should look like? It's just, oh, well, I think HR should be doing this or HR should be doing that. But then when you actually come in, you have to not shut that down, but basically give them a mind reset or a mindset shift to say, actually, what you thought was HR is not HR, and this is what it is, and then maybe there causes some friction. Do you think that typically happens, or the scenario of we don't really know what HR is supposed to be, and so you get a lot of autonomy, or do you think it typically happens somewhere in the middle?
I really would say, I'm not trying to take a cop out, but I really would say it's probably somewhere in the middle. Again, I've had the opportunity to do this, like I'm doing here at Slick Deals, at a couple of different organizations where I've been the first person in an HR department. And I've actually had all three of the scenarios that you listed. One that people were just like, I don't even know what HR is supposed to be doing, but I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to have you to keep myself out of trouble. And so just go do what you're supposed to do. I've had other companies that, you know, have been at the opposite extreme that are like, nope, this is what it's supposed to be. And now you're having to try and, you know, shift minds. I think HR is always about education. It's always about, you know, helping people understand the benefit and value of having a successful HR person on their team. And so, I mean, that's up to us. I don't expect any of my leadership team at any company I've ever worked at to be on track and aligned with all of the regulations and laws and changes of all of those types of things. Again, that's the reason that they hired me. And so sometimes it may not be that it's necessarily that they think that this is how it is supposed to be. It's because they've been told that's how it was. And so sometimes it's just about educating them on, you know, I appreciate that that's where things were, you know, 5 or even 1 year ago, but this is kind of the landscape of, you know, the climate that we live in today. And so it's something that we have to continue to educate people on. Just like I wouldn't expect my finance person to think that I am all knowledgeable about everything financial related. You know, hopefully he would educate me on those types of things, but certainly I come into it knowing what I believe to be the case. And I think it's the same thing with human resources. If we have if we have an expectation that everybody is supposed to know what we're doing, then I guess I would say, then why would they need us? So
right.
We are the experts in our field, and we need to make sure that we behave in such a manner and help to educate people that they see us as experts in our field as well.
When you start in this new role and you do an audit, and not an actual HR audit, but an audit overall of all the things that you need to do, whether it's update the tech or the employee handbook or the policies, procedures, payroll, all these things, how quickly should you assess whether or not it's time for you to hire someone immediately versus continuing to work and figure things out slowly over time and then try to bring people on? Is it ever a bad thing to say, you know what, hey guys, this is way too much work, and you want me to be in charge of recruiting and you want to do engagement, I at least need to bring a recruiter and an admin person on immediately? What does that typically look like?
Yeah, so again, I think it's critical in how you jump off of getting the information in the first place. And so that's where, again, I can't stress enough how critical it is to have those early on meetings with your executive team to know where their priorities are and get a feel. So as an example here at Slick Deals, I started here in November of last year. And as I had all of those meetings and we were then started looking at what does our staffing plan look like for 2019. So just staffing alone, obviously big growth that we're going to have this year. And then in addition, all the other things that I know we need to do. So I know you've mentioned tech stack a couple of times. I came into an organization that we have a company who's, we have a service who's doing our payroll, or a system, I should say, that's doing our payroll, but we're not really using it fully as an HRIS. We have no ATS system. And so I think it's critical, again, as I mentioned, we have to be seen as experts in our field. You have to take enough time to gather enough information that you're able to turn that around with a business case. I think sometimes in HR, my experience has been with some HR professionals, is that they don't feel like they have to put together a business case like anybody else would. If we can't put together a good business case that shows here's the reasons why I need to do these things, then we can't necessarily be frustrated that we're not getting the resources and support that we need in order to accomplish things successfully. So I came on board, I did this quick audit, I started to keep, and when I say quick audit, I'm not talking all the files and everything, just like a high level overview. I knew where my leadership team, where their priorities were, what they wanted to accomplish. I looked at my staffing plan, and within the first, I would say probably 30 to 45 days, I was having a conversation about the fact that looking at what we're trying to accomplish and in the time frame we want to do it, I put together my business case that we needed to have, you know, an additional HR person onto the team. I chose for that to be a recruiter / generalist type person. Because I don't believe our recruiting will always be as extensive as it is right now. And so I wanted to make sure that we had a good cross of an individual to come into that. So I guess to circle back and answer your question, I think it's critical to get your information quickly. This isn't something that you can take months and months to put together, but get your information quickly. Put your list together of all of the initiatives and activities that you need to do and think about how long they're going to take you. And then prepare your business case, just like anybody else in the organization, if they were trying to put a new product out or a new concept, like put your business case together as to what it is you're trying to accomplish with deadlines and costs, all of that. And I will tell you, most of the time, you're going to have successful results because people are going to say, wow, this person really knows what they're talking about. I recognize them as an expert and I'm going to move forward.
Wow, that was great. And do you think there's a difference in your approach of starting this new department, whether you're reporting directly to the CFO or the CEO?
So I have reported to a lot of different roles in my career, and every organization is a little bit different. My personal belief is that I believe HR is of such a value to the organization that it should be a direct report to the CEO. But I also recognize that that's not where 100% of organizations are today. And that's okay. If you get caught up into who you report to, I think you're missing the point of what you're trying to accomplish. And so I encourage HR professionals to focus less on who they report to and focus more on who they are able to interact and engage with. So as an example, here at Slick Deals, when I started, I was reporting to the CFO. We've recently shifted that and I report to the COO at this point. But I have regular ongoing conversations with what I call, I can't call it a triad now because I would really say there's four of us that are part of this. It's the CEO, the COO, the CFO, and the head of HR. And so, again, focus less on where you're reporting to and who you have the ability to engage with. And then if you're accomplishing what you need to be accomplishing, then that's going to be recognized and seen.
Nice. And then any final words before we go into our next section of what any person or any HR leader or people ops leader should be thinking when they're looking to start or create a new HR department from scratch at their organization?
What they should be thinking. Personally, I just say be excited. I've done this 3 times now, and every single time, to me, it's a really exciting opportunity of the impact that you have the ability to make on the company, on the employees' lives. Because again, if you've not had a person focused on HR, the employees probably haven't been getting everything that they could potentially be getting from the organization just because there hasn't been somebody focused on it. And so be excited about the impact that you get to have and all of the exciting things that you get to accomplish. So that's what it is for me, at least. That's how I look at it.
Nice. All right. So now we're going to go through this lightning round, which I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous. Are you ready?
Ooh. Okay.
All right. Real question. Do you like to eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
I actually don't like to eat bread pudding. I have an issue with any food that you let sit and then make something else out of. So I'm not a bread pudding fan. I don't eat banana bread for the same reason, all those types of things.
All right. Well, we still can be friends despite your dislike of one of my favorite foods. All right. All right. The random question. Without you going into details, because obviously you're in HR and you couldn't talk about it anyway, but what's one of the most random situations you've ever found yourself being in working in HR?
Wow. I've had a lot. I've joked several times that I should actually write a book at some point. I've had employees that have been on TV, on shows that were not positive, that ultimately ended up having to deal with things because it came back on work. I've had random, employee situations. Again, can't go into any of those specifically, but probably, I guess, the most random, I guess, if I think about it, that I can share is when back in the 90s, when anthrax was happening and people were getting letters mailed to them, we actually, at the company that I worked for, the receptionist reported to me, and they actually thought that they got an envelope that had anthrax in it. And so as HR, the one thing people don't think about that the world of HR encompasses is a lot of times we own safety and all of those types of activities. And so ended up having to kind of flip modes, really go into emergency response. How do we handle the situation? How do we, I had to shut off the air conditioning in the building and quarantine the employees and go through entire situation. So there's been some really interesting ones out there, but there's really some exciting ones too. And if you don't mind, if I give a little bit extra about something else.
Sure.
The one piece of advice I always give to HR, to new HR people, and I've done a lot of mentoring and had a lot of interns. And the one piece of advice I always give them is HR is not always a thankful job. People don't necessarily walk in and say, hey, my paycheck was right. Or, hey, I went to the doctor and our insurance is great. A lot of times they walk in when the smallest things are wrong or a big thing is wrong. And that's what they're, having the conversation. And so I highly encourage every HR person. I say to them, you're going to have a moment in your HR career that signifies to you why you do this every day. And when that moment happens, memorize every minute of what transpired, because that's what you'll have to go back on. So when you have those days of the employees who are complaining or frustrated, you have the opportunity to kind of take a moment, reflect back on the positive things and the reason that we got into this career, and then really be able to use that to your benefit and refocus and move on.
What is one of the most ridiculous reasons why you think companies don't want to have a new HR department? I've heard that, kind of funny, but HR people go into a new business and everyone's afraid that this new person is here. they don't want to talk to them. It's like, whoa, I don't want to be seen talking to this person because maybe I'm telling on somebody, or maybe I'm in trouble, or there's an issue. So that may be one of the most ridiculous things, but if you could talk about that and also just discuss what are some of the most ridiculous reasons that you've heard or that you've seen as to why companies don't want to even have an HR person come in until they absolutely need or are being forced to have one.
That's a very fair question. And definitely one of the things when you're coming in to a new HR department, starting it up, you are going to hear a lot of that. So I think probably the one I hear most often is people are like, well, we're not going to be able to have any fun anymore. And I always tell people there's absolutely nothing about HR that says you can't have any fun. I actually have a miniature pool table in my office. I believe in having fun also. And most HR people that I know do. So it's not about not having fun anymore. It's about making sure that the fun that we're having is appropriate and it's not creating an environment for anybody else that makes them uncomfortable. The other comment that I probably hear second most often is, oh, they're going to try and make us all corporate. Especially because a lot of times a new HR department is happening in a smaller growing company. And so people have this mentality of, oh, we've always been a startup and we don't want to lose that startup feel. And I tell people all the time, there's really a happy balance. And one of the things that I tell people about Slick Deals when I'm talking through why they should want to come work here, part of the value proposition of being here is, even though we're going to be celebrating our 20th anniversary this year, I still believe we're getting in, employees have the ability to get in on the ground floor with this. So we are a beautiful balance between a corporate environment and a startup environment. And we haven't lost that startup feel, but we are, because we're growing and we're going to continue to grow. We do have to become a bit more corporate and just making sure that we've got processes in place and, you know, there's consistency around how we're doing things. And so I would say those are probably the two most often things that I hear is, and the one I think is, again, the most ridiculous is the, we're not gonna be able to have fun anymore.
Well, I'm glad everyone at Slick Deals is still having fun. But Karen, this was such an awesome podcast interview. You dropped so many gems of wisdom, and I'm sure so many people are going to learn so much from you. So thank you so much. Karen!
Excellent. Thanks, Bruce. I really enjoyed it. And I hope this helps. If there's even one HR professional out there that this makes a difference in, I think we both won.
So how can people find you online? And I believe you already shouted out the Slick Deals website, which we'll put in the show notes. But how can people find you online?
Yes. So we are, obviously, slickdeals.net is our website. And then I'm on LinkedIn as well. So certainly you can find me, Karen Rice. I'm in the Las Vegas area. So certainly you'll find the Karen Rice in Las Vegas at Slick Deals. Feel free to send me a LinkedIn request. I'm always more than happy to help out, whether it's a fellow HR professional who just has a question. I recently, as we were talking about hiring for this role, I recently hired a couple of people, and the person who I ended up not selecting was a very tough decision. And I told that person, even though you're not getting the job, I would love to still be a mentor for you in your career growth and see where opportunities lead. And so I often take on those types of activities as well, because I believe anytime any of us can progress the profession of human resources, we all owe it to ourselves, to our community, to our businesses, et cetera. So feel free to send me a LinkedIn request. Tell me that you heard me on this podcast, and we'll engage in a conversation.
That's very nice of you. That's pretty cool. And we'll definitely put that in the show notes. But Karen, again, thank you so much. And for all you listeners out there, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode and everything that Karen had to say, please make sure that you leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, if you're just a flyby listener right now and you haven't committed to downloading the Employee Cycle podcast to your favorite pod player, then please make sure you do that on Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to your podcast. And HR and people ops leaders out there, please remember to continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.